For our study this morning, we want to look at some examples of daily evangelism in the Lord's church in the first century. But also, we want to discuss the need for gospel meetings. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning. Yes, sir, to PFE, and we all should be doing just that, preparing for eternity. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit with a proper attitude, but also in truth, that is, in accordance to the New Testament pattern. I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, we look forward to having Bible studies. If that's something you're interested in, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience. And we do look forward to those opportunities. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, our gospel meeting is coming up fast. In fact, it's to begin this Friday night at 7 p.m., April the 12th, and then on Saturday night, April the 13th, again at 7 p.m., and then Sunday morning, the 14th of April, 9:30, then 10:30 worship service, and a wonderful potluck lunch, and then to close out the meeting at 1 p.m., Brother Ronnie Whittemore is our speaker from the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis. Brother Ronnie has done a number of gospel meetings. He's done several for us and always does an excellent job. He shucks the corn and puts it out where the calves can get it. I'm sure you'll appreciate Brother Ronnie's preaching the gospel of Christ. So we do want to see you join in with us. And that's why I thought it would be good to have a sermon dealing with the need for gospel meetings. And also, again, show examples of daily evangelism in the early church. And I emphasize the word daily. I hope you notice that. So, let's get into our study now, and we'll begin with the need for gospel meetings. Why should we have a gospel meeting? Well, because, number one, sin flourishes. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And if anybody doubts that, just look around. Our school setups with the indoctrination of transgenderism. Abortion is promoted, as you see this, with some folks just really want to push that. The taking of an innocent life, where is the baby's rights? They're always talking about the mother's rights, excuse me, but why not talk about the baby's rights? The crime rate, of course, is skyrocketed. a lot of problems we could talk about. And so sin is obviously flourishing. That's the point I'm trying to make here. And we need to preach the gospel, whether it's in a gospel meeting or in lectureships or vacation Bible school, every church service that we have an opportunity to teach from the Word of God. And then outside the worship service, outside the Bible class, as we come together, we need to be preaching and teaching the gospel. Well, Satan does not like it when the gospel is preached. You can rest assured that he does not like it. Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's John 8:44. Well, sin flourishes, and Satan doesn't like it when the gospel's preached. That's two excellent reasons to have a gospel meeting and showing the need for gospel meetings. But here's a third: because God is glorified when the gospel is preached. That's right. Revelation 1:5-6. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That's right. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Yes, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now notice chapter 14, still in the Revelation, verse 7, "saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." That's right. Fear God and give glory to him. Respect God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, is it not? Number four, here's another reason we need gospel meetings. That is because the church is edified. Of course, we want the lost to come and hear the gospel of Christ and respond to it, obeying the gospel and becoming a child of God, a Christian. But also, we need to, of course, have the church edified. All the members of the church, of course, we expect to be here, as if we're not sick, and of course, taking care of a sick child or something to that effect, where we would want to be here, but we're hindered. We need, of course, to be edified, all of us. Notice with me Ephesians 4:11-12. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry," here it is, "for the edifying of the body of Christ." The church needs to be edified without question. That's a work of the church, is it not? We know that it is. Look at verse 16, still in Ephesians chapter 4. "From whom the whole body fittedly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Edifying of itself in what? Not in hate, not in discord, but in love. Yes, sirree. Now notice, because, here's number five, the need for gospel meetings, this is an excellent answer to give in that regard. Yes, there's a need for gospel meetings because the church is commanded to evangelize the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Mark 16:15-16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every soul, that is. And notice, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's vitally important to carry forth. The Great Commission is commanding us as the church to take the gospel throughout the world. We all can't go overseas. No, of course not. There needs to be those that are supporting those who are able to go overseas, the mission work that is being done for the cause of Christ. If we do not carry the gospel of Christ to the lost, who will? You see, we need to carry the truth, not man's teachings, traditions, and doctrines of men, but the gospel of Christ needs to go forth into all the world, unto every soul. Well, let's go now to discuss some examples of daily evangelism in the early church, in the Lord's church, the church you read about in the Bible. In other words, the church of Christ. It's his body. He shed his blood in order to purchase the church. So let's start here in Acts chapter 2, the day the church began, on the day of Pentecost in the first century. Where? In Jerusalem, as was prophesied. So now notice, we'll go to verses 42 and verse 47. 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the same as the doctrine of Christ, is it not? And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily. Notice that again. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So for the Lord to add to the church daily, there had to be daily teaching of the gospel of Christ, did there not? We know that that's the case. And you see, they were in the temple, not just on Sunday, verse 45, but daily. People were being converted on a daily basis. What would have happened if the early church believed you only needed to meet one time a week? Well, some congregations have gone to that, sad to say. But they, these early church members of the Lord's church, were busy praising God for the growth of the church, verse 47. Well, what about us? Are we interested in lost souls? We must be, if we're going to carry out the Great Commission. Now let's go to Acts chapter 8. Again, we're looking at examples of daily evangelism in the early church. And we'll go to verse 4. of Acts 8. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, at this time, Saul was causing a great persecution against the church. Verse 1. And they were all scattered abroad except for the apostles. And thus, you see, he was making habit of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Verse 3. So, as we start with verse 4, those that were scattered abroad in the Lord's church went where? Everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, for example. And you see in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, that would be the church of Christ, and the name of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ, what happened then? They were baptized, both men and women, because they heard the gospel preached. That's right. What would happen today if the church was scattered abroad because of persecution? Don't think it's not likely to happen. Well, it's very likely. As time goes on and things continue the way they're going, unless we have a great turnaround and get back to the Bible, we can expect it. A great persecution, yes. And it's already happening in certain places. Well, you know, Philip, he could have said, well, I'm not going down to Samaria and associate with those folks, because you know how formerly the Jews looked at the Samaritans. Well, he didn't say that. Of course not, because he cared for lost souls. So we need to do likewise, have the same concern, regardless of race, creed, or color. But let's go on in our study now, as we're seeing some examples of daily evangelism in the early church. And so we're going to go to Acts chapter 11, and we'll see here another example. Beginning, let's pick up with verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church. Did you know the church had ears? Well, it's not speaking of the building, is it? No, of course not. The church is the members who have obeyed the gospel, the Christians that the Lord has added to his body, the true church. Yes, that's ecclesia that called out. So the church does have ears, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, now that's interesting, isn't it? Barnabas saw the results of the grace of God, in other words, and was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, they brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Isn't that interesting? Barnabas was sent forth and was supported as a missionary by the church in Jerusalem. The church of Christ there in Jerusalem was mission-minded, sending forth missionaries. Notice that Barnabas exhorted the brethren in Antioch to what? To cleave to the Lord. In other words, glue ourselves to the Lord, not turn loose. Verse 23, have we purposed our heart to do just that, to cleave to the Lord? You know, Barnabas was a good, faithful man, and he taught many people the truth and worked with the people. Paul, he worked with the Apostle Paul, yes, on on a missionary journey, did he not? When other brethren were reluctant to do so, as you can see, Barnabas was instrumental in getting Paul introduced to the brethren. 9:27, for example. But let's go on and look at another example of daily evangelism in the early church. Acts 13, verses 1 and 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Notice verse 3, And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So here's the beginning of the missionary journey there from the Antioch congregation. And they were sent out to do what? To spread the gospel, not only to Jews, but also to the Gentiles. What if only a few brethren there at Antioch were willing to support the Lord's work? Well, we wouldn't be reading what we're reading in the book of Acts, would we not? You see, they were willing. And we have this example. Are we willing to send out brethren to go forth and teach and preach what? The precious gospel of Christ. Not political views, but we're preaching the truth as to how man can be saved from his sins. And we need to work towards producing preachers, elders, teachers, and future wives of preachers and elders. That's right. We need to be involved in this as congregations of the Lord's church. But now let's look at one other example, and we'll leave the book of Acts and go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 4 through 9. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Their lifestyle was helping them, wasn't it? And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples, or ensamples, the King James, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. These Thessalonian brethren gladly received the truth, and they did not keep the gospel to themselves. Oh no. They're living examples of Christianity at that time. They were truly converted to Christ, having turned from idols. Oh, if we could see that today, people turning away from their idols, whether it be movie stars or sports figures or singers, rock groups or whatever, money, you name it. If it comes first, it's an idol. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, will be taken care of, Matthew 6:33. But something we need to really emphasize here, we must never, never, never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul certainly was not, and neither was Barnabas. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, these brethren were involved in good works, which was being reported throughout the brotherhood, where Paul had been traveling. You see that in verses 7 through 9. In every place your faith to God were to spread abroad. It's not only in Macedonia and Achaia. This is where Paul was traveling, where he was hearing good reports. We all need to faithfully receive the word and make the proper application to ourselves. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye have heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Have we received the word of God? It needs to be working in us. In James 1, 21 and 22, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's a warning, isn't it? So, what is more important than saving souls? Can we answer that question honestly? Nothing is more important than that. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. That was the most important thing for our Lord in His coming, to seek and save that which was lost. He died for our sins. He's reigning in heaven, and it's His body that we need to be a part of as we obey the gospel. The Lord will add us, yes, to His body, as we saw in Acts 2:47. You know, if we were to gain all the earth's treasures, it would not be ours on the day of judgment, would it? No, it wouldn't. But our soul will either be saved or it will be lost. For what is it profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul, Jesus said. Matthew 16:26. We need to take heed. What if every member supports our gospel meeting the way I do? Think about that. We look forward to seeing you at our gospel meeting, and we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel by hearing the truth, the word of God, and then to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sins, make that change of wills, then make the good confession unto salvation. And then you're ready to be immersed into the body of Christ, contacting His precious blood that washes away our sins. We come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to His body. We thank you so much for listening today.